You're listening to Talk of the Town with Larry Rifkin on 1320 WATR and streamed worldwide at WATR.com.
Well, James Redeker, everybody talks about you, Mr. Redeker, as being a very responsive commissioner of the Department of Transportation, and that is something that I know that the legislative leaders here in the city of Waterbury really do appreciate. You were here the other day for the raising of the building, the SNET building, and what does that signal about transportation and train service here in the Waterbury area down the road?
Well, thanks for that. Thanks both for recognizing that. I think the whole department is being quite responsive. We want to be that the face to the public. We want to be responsive. And this project, by the way, the demolition of the SNET building, this sort of is such a symbolic project in, as well as a real project. You know, this has been a piece of infrastructure that's been a blight at that station in terms of being able to maintain it, safety, security, access, the whole, all of those things have been a problem for so many years. It's been at least a decade, if not longer. It's been a great demonstration of two things. One, vision for the future. It's part of a transformation of the Waterbury station area. From my perspective, that means improved and better rail service, which is then the catalyst for the city's vision for an expanded development, trail systems, making this a true transit-oriented development location, reclaiming brownfields, doing the right thing, doing it in the right way. Waterbury's going to be a fabulous sort of future. And, you know, this is such a symbolic project that gets rid of that history and starts the beginning of the future. It's terrific. But the other part of it that I don't want to fail to mention is It's an outstanding demonstration of what partnerships are really all about. And Waterbury, from a mayor, the delegation, and the legislature, as well as the development group, local citizens, have all come together in so many ways. This is just another demonstration of what partnerships can do. Because it's not just the state, but we had a major role to play. It's not just the city, but they had a major role to play. And working with Hartford has been great, too. The other demonstration, and we've talked about it historically, is the partnership that Waterbury and Naugatuck Community College did to extend bus service at night, which, again, was very, very creative and something unique to the Waterbury area. So, frankly, it's been a lot of fun, a lot of challenges. We've been very creative, but it's been exciting to see it. And I tell you, watching that crane come in and just start knocking that building down. Teared because I started working on this when I got here 5 years ago. Called to Waterbury, understood that all the problems behind the building, the hidden. We put cameras up; those are now connected to the police department. But now, I mean, it's unbelievable. You come into Waterbury and you've got this incredible sight line straight to the train station, and you can just see that the future is going to be great there.
Are you entering in at all to the conversation about an intermodal transportation center right there on Meadow Street? Because a lot of people have been debating that. And part of that is taking our buses off the green and some of the concerns about moving them around Meadow Street. I mean, is that something that you have been very involved with or tangentially aware of?
Definitely involved. I'm actually paying for the study.
Oh, okay. Well, then you're very involved.
We're very involved. We've put up the cash to have the MPO work toward a solution there. But what's different now, really, is that we now have this new center at the train station with a real future and a real project. I mean, we're going to see a brand new parking lot, great landscaping, great access, bus pullouts. This, Waterbury train station is not just a train station anymore. A year from now, Connecticut Fast Track will have buses starting there to get you on an express bus trip through the Fast Track system into Hartford faster than anybody could ever do in a car and making great connections. So it's not just going to be a train station. It's also going to be this major bus hub. And then we have to think about what the right connections are for all of the local connections there. So the right thing to do is to wipe the slate clean and start again because having a parking lot. That's that brand new facility, reopening a train station waiting area, bringing a presence here, and then bringing the fast track system in a year from now, really is a game changer. So I think the right thing to do is to start again, take a new look at it, and that's why we are participating yet again in a partnership by funding a new study there.
Okay. One of the questions, of course, that arises with all of the issues on the New Haven line of the Metro North, how much does that affect what can be done to continue upgrades on the Waterbury line, the Danbury line, the other lines that we've got? Because, well, you know, New Haven is really the hub of it all. And yet we now see that we've got some tremendous issues that we've got to address there. So the question is, what does that do to, you know, the rest of us down the line, if you will?
Well, just to put some perspective on it, for this show, Waterbury is the hub, not the New Haven line.
Okay.
You know, look, branch lines are very critical to the overall system. The New Haven line gets fed by the branch lines, and from my perspective, the Waterbury branch in particular is really a gem that needs to be polished. It's got a lot of work to be done. The focus, particularly that came through the New Haven line, as a matter of safety, you know, what do we need to engage in to make a safe system, has led to an acceleration of work toward installing positive train control systems. And we have begun for the first time, and I'm happy to make that clear today because it hasn't been in the past, that we are initiating design for a signal system, which has not been in the works.
Okay, and explain what that means.
Yeah, so it's a little hard, very technical, but the signal system allows a central operating dispatch center to control train movements and to do it in a way that protects the safety of those trains as they pass each other. The Waterbury branch has a few locations with passing sidings or tracks where that could occur, but there's no signals. So effectively, you can only run one train in one direction the entire length of the railroad before another train can reverse and go the other direction. So you can see that that limits significantly the number of trains that can operate. So until you install a signal system, we are capped at the number of trains that can operate. And we haven't yet historically made a decision to move forward on it, but I have authorized the design for a signal system and expediting the positive train control. Train control does the second thing, which is if a train were to come close to another train, it would stop it automatically to prevent any accidents if it's on the same track. So from that perspective, I think we're making a bold new step in terms of advancing the signal system. I'm interested in working toward providing some alternative bus services to fill some of the service gaps today, you know, in advance of what a scheduling might be for trains with a new signal system, because that's going to be a ways off yet. I'm hoping to bring some improvements to this corridor well in advance of that.
Okay, well, that sounds great and very hopeful, and obviously it's great to hear that our Commissioner of Transportation is so engaged in what's going on here in the Waterbury area. Let me ask you, you know, every time you hear a traffic report and you hear it from a Hartford station, you know, a Waterbury station, it all revolves around what's going on in the Waterbury area. I mean, we are one of those bottlenecks. We know that you're working now again on I-84 out of Waterbury. Can you give us any update on that project and give us a sense of the timeline as you see it now?
Sure. The good news started last year when, through a lots of good actions on our part, we were able to bring projects under budget and for the first time be able to pull together enough resources, call that $400 million, to finally address this last constriction on 84, which is the every single day bottleneck. And if it's not because two lanes, it's because of the sun. I probably can't take care of the sun glare, but I will be able to take care of the two lane constriction there. And we will be bidding the project later this year in the June time period, looking to award that project and get it into construction. Probably not really in earnest until the spring of next year after the winter season, but we'll get some pre-construction activity going before then. But so the public is aware of what's happening, and we can refresh them, and they can ask questions and interface with us, again, one-on-one, so we can have a dialogue. We will be having an open house meeting mm-hmm. at Crosby High School on May 14th. I'm announcing that today.
Okay.
An open house from about 5 to 6 and a presentation at 6 o'clock. And really would encourage, and the more you could get the word out, the better.
Sure.
Anybody who has a concern, an interest, an expectation can come out. But it's really our, probably the last time, but an important time to make sure everybody knows exactly what's going to happen and can talk to us and meet us and I hope get the same excitement I have about finally bringing, this piece of good news and construction to fruition.
Okay, 203-757-1320. If you would like to talk to James Redeker about what you see on the roads and the highways, give us a call or on the trains. In fact, this 2016 timeline that you've got for a train that will be moving out of New Haven through Hartford and up to Springfield, and I know you're looking for a carrier or someone to designate to run it, but that looks to be on time?
Yeah, so we continue to work very hard. We've actually spent a lot of money on a signal system and some grade crossing work. We've relocated some track, but we will announce an official groundbreaking, I think, very shortly in 2014, which will signal the double tracking investment and some station work later this summer, where we'll open bids and award contracts for the station work for between New Haven and Hartford. Our expectation is that project will be done, and it'll bring us from what is now 6 trains in each direction or so, more than doubling that and bringing peak period commuter service in about the half-hour range. That's going to be an amazing transformation in a corridor that has essentially no commuter rail service and very, very limited intercity service provided by Amtrak. And we're still deciding exactly what we want to do from a service perspective. I'm not yet ready to talk about how we're going to do that, mm-hmm. but clearly we want to have the best service for the best cost, and in the end, the best customer service we can provide.
Okay, now big bang projects, of course, the Q Bridge, the Quinnipiac Bridge, has been one of them in New Haven, and now, of course, you're talking about the I-84 viaduct in Hartford. That would seem to be next, and I guess we're wondering, is the Mixmaster, kind of still right there in the top 3 or 4, and what is the timeline on being able to consider changes to the Mixmaster?
Well, it's certainly in the top 3 or 4 in terms of cost.
yes.
let me just give a quick perspective. The Q Bridge is under construction. The Moses Wheeler Bridge on I-95 is under construction. The West River Bridge on I-95 is under construction. Effectively, that takes into account all of the major, the huge bridge projects for I-95. And we can sit, there are lots of others work to do on 95, but those big ticket items will be behind us. So our next focus is based on condition and expectations of, what we need from a life cycle point of view. Our next focus is in Hartford, the viaduct project there. We've got an active program of engagement with customers and riders and constituents and stakeholders, looking at design alternatives and environmental approvals there. That's going to take us through 2015. That's our schedule for picking an alternative and getting to a decision, an environmental decision, a record of decision on moving forward on mm-hmm. that. That will be followed by the Mixmaster. The Mixmaster is not, from an urgency point of view, on the list, but it clearly is on our radar screen next. I know that in the meeting that I had in Waterbury just this past week, we did talk about the design for that or some of the options for that as it relates to, again, as Waterbury brings forth this new vision of a development proposal, lots of development proposals in and around the train station and along the river, what does it mean, and are there things we should be considering down the road as we get to the Mixmaster? So I think continuing a dialogue and engaging in that is important so that as the city moves forward with its plans, our plans are dovetailed, and we work as partners.
Okay, now you were talking about, various forms of development and suggesting, I think, that there are some green pieces to this. And you, the Department of Transportation, are also very much involved in approving all that goes on and overseeing the project of the Greenway, which is, to go from down in the valley all the way up to Torrington.
Right.
And our stretch, I know that the first phase of that stretch finally has a lot of commentary from your department about what we're planning to do. We were told the other night at the Board of Aldermen meeting that we're a little bit over budget, but they're looking at all of your recommendations. I mean, how goable do you see that project? I mean, there are a lot of skeptics here in the city. They call my program regularly about phase one. You know, how confident are you that we can get that online and really work on that in 2015?
Oh, I think it's totally doable, and I must say that for me personally, these greenways are a very, very important part of a transportation system. I'm not sure that's been the case in the older history of the DOT, but for me, bike and pedestrian treatments and trails, design elements on roadway widenings that allow for bicycles, that talk about pedestrian safety, couldn't be more important. And in fact, you know, one of the things that I believe gets the highest sort of approvals from the DOT in terms of what people like and what they use are these trails. They're good for health. They're good for action. A lot of people actually commute on these things, and we just don't have a complete network. So I have made that a priority for the department, working in partnership with DEEP in approvals and working toward a system that we can actually advance. You know, this year we actually hit a milestone on the East Coast Greenway in the sense that we signed the entire length of the East Coast Greenway through Connecticut so people could actually follow it and do that. And we've got a several-year plan that I believe will get us to complete that. Now working in your corridor, we've got this. I think we're good with a design. We've approved
okay.
through the approval process. And then I know that there's lots of excitement about trying to advance the next couple elements of it. Along the waterfront, to and from the train station, and we just got I just got a full briefing on that last week as well. So I'm really excited about that. I want to work with the city toward finding some money for that, and let's hope for the best there too.
Okay.
Hey, I personally live about a half a mile from the canal trail in Cheshire.
Oh yes.
And it's a great
part of
my weekends and days. When the weather changes, are out there every night. It's great and more. There's so many people that are using it. It just has great appeal.
Oh, it is remarkable. I'm on there, too. Maybe I'll see you.